Welcome along then to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with SBK. And he's back, Steve Palmer. Where have you been off to, Steve?
Good morning, Dave. Yes, survived half term. I know you've got two young children as well. It's not easy to survive half term. Just about managed it. Don't feel remotely refreshed, Dave. Yeah, 3 days in Cornwall. So by rights, I should be refreshed. Yeah, great weather. Cornwall's amazing. But the kids make it very challenging.
What did you have, like factor 400 on? Like the sun must have been nice, and have you just stayed inside the whole time? What's the story?
It's just
where's the tan?
It's classic, isn't it? The English weather is either too hot or too cold, isn't it? Yeah, we never ever get perfect conditions, do we? I know I'm a miserable sod sometimes, but is that not the case? I mean, it was too hot last week, wasn't it, at the start of the week? Now it's too cold, but mustn't grumble. Mustn't grumble. You're looking well, Dave. You look like you're off to the golf course. You're sponsored by Callaway today. I see on the collar there. You're off somewhere nice?
No, I've just signed a sponsorship deal with them, that's all.
Very good. It's all happening. Before I went on holiday, Dave, I was sort of angry. There were seven consecutive tournaments with an impossible to back winner. I don't know whether some people back Wyndham Clark. I know he's a major champion, but he'd been playing like an absolute chump. So I felt like the last seven were impossible. And selfishly, I was hoping that would continue last week because obviously I don't bet on my weeks off. So I didn't, I was hoping there'd be loads of impossible to bet winners last week. So to justify my week off betting, but they were much more gettable last week as we'll come to. So
Will. Listen, I'm going to give a shout out very early doors to James Mason, who's a very able deputy who steps in for you. Back of the net, 47-1 winner for him.
Absolutely, yeah. Like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I mean, we're talking about super subs. I mean, in my day when I used to watch a lot of football, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer used to come off the bench every match and score, didn't he? So, absolutely. I was delighted. It was a fascinating tournament. I got back on Sunday and watched the final round of all events.
Nice. Yeah, I don't tend to watch much football now these days, but let's move on. Let's move on. Right, you are here, of course, on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do get involved with us. We'd love to hear from you in the comments. There's a lot of people congratulating following James, which is marvellous. Let us know who you're backing this week. So do get involved with us. Get involved with our sponsors as well, SBK. Jump onto their website, BetSBK. And of course, they are the perfect home for all your golf bets this season. They're now partnered up, of course, with the DP World Tour. As they've got you covered, we've got boosts, which we'll mention this week as well. But there is, of course, a welcome offer for you. You get £60 in free bets if you open an account with BetSBK. So jump onto the website. You must bet £20 to get £20 in free bets, in addition to their £40 welcome offer as well. You get two £10 free golf bets among that as well. All the terms and conditions are on the website, Gamble Aware. 18 plus, of course, but jump onto the website to get all the information there. But £60 welcome offer there. So if you've not got an SBK account, now's a good time because there will be, well, I'll tell you now, they're boosting both tournaments, which I tend to be saying every week. So I'm assuming there's something, I should find that out really, but they're giving you a 20% winnings boost on the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour every single week. So if you've not got an account already, get the free bets, get the boost, and off you go. So jump onto the website. There is all the information for you. Right, let's look back, Steve, before we look forward. Three to review, three to preview. We'll start with my old mate, the wind machine, Neiman, in the livers, winning again an eighth live title for him. I'd like to be just £1 behind him. That'd be beautiful.
Yeah, he was an 11-1 winner last week. Back to winning ways. That was his first win of the year. He won five times on the live circuit last year. But you remember he kept flopping in the majors and he had a massive tantrum after the Open Championship last year. Almost took his caddy's hand off. He slammed his shoe down in his golf bag just as his caddy was picking it up. I remember it well. He was fuming that he missed the cut in the Open. He sacked virtually all of his team. You know, he made sweeping changes. And then for the rest of the year, he was pretty poor, pretty awful from the Open onwards. So the changes didn't work out immediately. Slow out the traps this year, Dave. But over the last 3 months, been really getting his act together again. He was decent in the US PGA, which was a real boost because, as I mentioned, these major flops. So he played okay in the US PGA, finished 18th. Three of his eight live victories have come in Asia. He's won on the Asian tour too. So he was there for you last week, Dave. If the only way you're going to get as rich as Wacom Neiman is by backing winners, Dave. You should have backed him last week.
Yeah, listen, I'm in quite good form at the minute, as it happens myself. So I'm down on. All right.
Oh, well done. What, the Greyhound Derby? Do you want to get straight into the Greyhound Derby?
We're going to come to the Greyhound Derby a little bit later on because you can watch that with the Racing Post. So all of that is to come, okay. But I will tell you can watch it right here on the Racing Post YouTube channel live. We've got two people in the studio. I'll be reporting at the track running around, but we'll get on to all of
Brilliant.
Playoff win with Taylor Gooch. More on Neiman. He's a player that I sporadically back and I can never get him right. Where are we at with him now at the moment?
Oh yeah, he's back. Yeah. Wacom Neiman is back. All these changes have settled down. Yeah, much more interested in backing Wacom Neiman at the moment than I am Bryson DeChambeau. I know you're obsessed with Bryson DeChambeau.
I like his YouTube channel. Obsessed is a bit of a reach. I like his YouTube channel. That's not a crime. Well, he's got millions of subscribers. That's not a crime.
I spoke to your wife the other day. She says he spends all night just watching Bryson DeChambeau on YouTube.
That's what she thinks. Yeah.
He locks himself away. And she's very concerned about this obsession, Dave. But Bryson DeChambeau finished third last week. Yeah, so difficult to judge at the moment. You don't know what Bryson you're going to get. You know, he said the other day in an interview or so, he cannot decide whether he wants to be a tour golfer or a YouTube golfer, Dave. He actually said
that. That's not
that.
The sort of player I want to be back in to win golf tournaments.
Well, I mean, I think he should perhaps become just a full-time BS machine. I think he could be employed by farmers. You know, farmers use muck spreaders, don't they, to help their crops grow. And, the BS coming out of his mouth, it would be very effective for the farming community because, of course, he wants to be a tour golfer. I mean, he's just saying that for effect to try and convince the PGA Tour guys that they need to make him an offer he can't refuse or whatever. It's just an absolute nonsense. I think he'll be on the DP World Tour next year. I think Liv will probably wind up at the end of this year. Then he'll be on the
Cool. Just very quickly then, give me a crystal ball. What's going to happen, Steve? How's this all going to play out? Go.
I think Liv will certainly fade away in terms of having elite golfers on it at the end of this year. So then Bryson DeChambeau will go on to the DP World Tour next year and then it'll be on the PGA Tour when he finishes in the top 10 of the DP World Tour Race to Dubai ranking. So, this idea that he's just going to leave tour golf behind to become a YouTube golfer, I just think is absolute nonsense. And, he's winding me up. But, I mean, we saw flashes of his brilliance last week in career and he finished third.
Do you think that's a path that, you know, the likes of John Rahm, Neiman, they're all going to go down that route and end up on the DP World Tour?
Well, Christopher Reitan was struggling in considering becoming a full-time YouTube golfer. You know, when you're at that level and you don't feel confident that you're going to win major honours, then it might be worth doing. I mean, you can make a lot of money on the YouTube these days. Christopher Reitan obviously stuck with it and it's all worked out for him. But Bryson DeChambeau, he's a major champion. He's a two-time major champion. He can win majors. I do not believe him. I do not believe him that he's considering.
No, I mean, do you think these elite players are going to end up on the DP World Tour first before back on the PGA?
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
The YouTube stuff. We're done with YouTube, right?
Sorry, I thought you were suggesting John Rahm might become a YouTube golfer.
No.
I don't think he's up for that. I think some of them will have to go down that route. Yeah, some of them will have to go down that route. And I think maybe they might make it as difficult as possible for Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah, the ones who've been most outspoken about the PGA Tour and most critical and when they thought Liv was forever, Liv forever. get the guitar. I think the PGA Tour will probably make some rules to allow the guys that have been less outspoken back on there, as they did for Brooks Koepka. Yeah, Brooks Koepka never burnt his bridges, did he, with the PGA Tour? He was pretty measured in his responses. So, yeah, we shall see. Dustin Johnson, is he going to come back to the PGA Tour, Dave? I mean, Dustin Johnson played well last week. Dustin Johnson outscored everybody in the field over the final 36 holes of Liv's career. Finished fourth. Still only 41. Dustin probably hasn't even noticed that Liv is in a bit of trouble. He's probably the last one to know. But we shall see, Dave.
Okay. I did. I got served a beautiful bit of content on my social feed by the old algorithm. I must follow too many golf accounts. Just Bryson DeChambeau popping up, him and his caddy, just being told, it's not your go yet, mate, by Justin Rose during the Ryder Cup. Remember that? It's just beautiful moments.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Kicked off massively there, didn't it?
That is the live. Is anything else to add, Steve, on the live?
No. We've got another live event this week. So, plenty of live chat later.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the show last week, but I found the other person on the planet that is interested in the team event, in James Mason. It's just you and James. You just exchange messages every week on the team event.
Oh, I'm pleased. I mean, the Crushers won the team event last week. So, I'll have some banter about that. So, Bryson's team won the team event last week.
Well, jump in the comments. If you care about the team event, jump in the comments and let us know, converse with Steve on it. Steve and James, they love the team event. Right, let's move to Austria then for the DP World Tour. And James Mason, back of the net here. Kaneko, 23-year-old, final round 67, 47-1 winner. Quiz time for you, Steve. And anyone out there, you can maybe pause this video after I ask this question.
Anyone out there? That's pretty pessimistic, Dave.
There are now five Japanese winners. Well, there have been five Japanese winners in the last 4 years on the DP World Tour. Name them.
Oh, God, Dave. Name them for a man who's had about 4 hours sleep in the last 4 days. Hoshino would be one. Rikuya Hoshino.
Yes, correct.
Hideki Matsuyama on a WGC or something. Does he count?
No.
No, we got three tournaments to get through here, Dave, and my brain is not ready for
all right,
questions.
Listen, I'll give you the answers. Anyone out there may have paused the video, have a guess. We have got
Dave,
Yuto.
There's definitely people out there, Dave. If there's nobody watching this show, I am going back to bed.
I mean people that are just humouring me and my quiz, not people that are watching the show. Kasaragawa.
Oh, yeah, Yuto Kasaragawa. Yeah, cool.
I've actually backed him this week as well, so I should know how to say his name.
You've backed Hoshino him already for this, have you? KLM.
Nakajima and Ryo Hitsasunye. So there you go.
Need to work on your pronunciation there, Dave.
Yeah, they're shocking. Listen, if I back them and they win, they can be called Fred as much as I can, but there we go. Right, so let's get back to the winner then. I felt a bit fortunate, Steve, on 16 and 18. Did you feel the same?
Oh, well, I mean, I would like to have been with a Kaneko backer during those final 3 holes. Yeah, it was a thrilling finish to the event. Yeah. I just got back from Cornwall and tuned in. I mean, I don't think there's any greater feeling in golf, actually, than when your fella's hitting a chip towards the hole. It's going like 100 miles an hour, and the only way it can be stopped is if it hits the flag. And, Kaneko back as Adda on the 16th. Yeah, I mean, as you're watching that ball go, you would have been slumped in your chair and you're just going, oh, bogey, 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 bogey. Yeah, they're the moments we live for in golf betting. Yeah, that would have been such a buzz for the Kaneko backers. And that was the key moment, got him back in the lead. And then, as you say, on the 18th, his heart's in the mouth time on 18, wasn't it? Because smashed into the grandstand.
Off the grandstand, yeah.
Rebounding at such speed, wasn't it? But then, thankfully, that rough was so thick. It was like Bob Marley's hair, wasn't it, that rough? it was no way through that rough, thank the Lord. So, just a great buzz over those final 3 holes for the Kaneko backers. And, I think he'll win again. I think he's arrow straight off the tee. He's got a really tidy short game. But it doesn't hit it very far, Dave. I mean, I'd like to see you and him go up against each other. I think you'd outdrive him, Dave. He doesn't hit it out of his shadow, does he? On a tight, fiddly course like last week's, bit of altitude in there as well. I think, they're the courses to follow him. He's 23 years old, 11th in the Race to Dubai ranking. So, on short, tight tracks, definitely one to follow.
Yeah, it was one of my, on 16, that was sort of one of my shots where I just shout, hit it, just hit the flag to stop it. And it went in. But all good. Yeah. Well done to James as well for finding that one. And there you go. Steve reckons perhaps a player to keep an eye on in the coming weeks as well, perhaps on the tracks that are not bombers' paradises. Who else should we be mentioning in here, Steve?
Well, Davis Bryant is another one. Oh, hang on, there's a man here for delivering something. Thank you. There's a delivery man. One second. Hiya, mate. Thanks a lot. Love you, Charlie. I've got a sign there, have I? Oh, no. Good man. Good man.
Well,
good
that
man.
Signature will be worth something one day. Does he know that?
Well, that's a sweet spot first, isn't it? That's a sweet
I was just telling the viewers that if you've got, you know, that signature will be worth something one day, Steve, if you have to
He did want a signature. They normally do want a signature. I thought I heard a knock on the door, and then I thought, no, I must be a seagull in it, the shed or something. But then, yeah.
Can I just ask a question? Why the shed would surely be in your garden, right? So why is someone in your garden delivering?
Yeah, the side gate must have been open, so he's tried to deliver.
He just helped himself into the garden.
He's walked down the side gate to chuck it in the. Yeah. Maybe the wife left a note on the door. I'm not sure, but it's my daughter's birthday coming up, so I'm guess that's a present for my daughter. But apologies
to work
the viewers
on home security, Steve. Actually, myself,
that was quite.
Well,
disturbing,
we've been massively sidetracked before. Your delivery guy turned up. You mentioned Davis Bryant.
Yes, Davis Bryant, I think, is consistently underrated by the bookmakers. Yeah, he's another one, like Kaneko, should be followed on short, tight tracks. Doesn't hit it very far, but very, very precise. Very tempting this week. I mean, it sounds like you've already had a bet on the KLM Open. Davis Bryant is a tempter this week. Rafa Cabrera Bayo. Bryant went off 100-1 last week. Rafa Cabrera Bayo went off 100-1 last week. They're both tied fourth. This is part of my frustration about being off.
Yeah, because you've been following him, haven't you?
I've been following him at big prices, and he loves Austria. He's a former Austrian Open champion. I missed the boat last week. Do I back him this week for the KLM Open? It's another really good assignment for Rafa Cabrera Bayo. And the final one to mention, Dave, because I know I've been held up by delivery people and all sorts. Gregorio De Leo. Have you been watching him?
Yeah, you know, go on.
I mean, Kaneko is a Japanese youngster that's settled on the DP World Tour quickly. Gregorio De Leo is settling nicely on the DP World Tour now, Italian youngster. And if you follow the form book, he's the one to be on last week. I mean, Kaneko finished second in the Sudal and then won. De Leo has been playing really well the last few weeks, seventh in Turkey, eighth in the Sudal, fourth last week. So he's another tempting option. The KLM Open is an absolute nightmare. He's 26, I think. The KLM Open is a nightmare, Dave. There's so many options, but those three I mentioned, Bryant, Cabrera Bayo and De Leo, really close to having them, but they haven't made the team.
Yeah, I'll fire my bullets already, and I just hope
that's another thing that your wife was telling me about, Dave. Go in too early. Pace yourself, Dave.
I can't. I get too excited. I can't. But we don't obviously discuss your selections, do we? So I have my bets, and then I'm like, yeah. I really hope Steve tips them, because then I'd like to follow yours as well. So then I have to have a few more bets. So, and if you're, listen, I'm really strong on one this week on the PGA Tour. But we'll get on to that. Okay. No one cares what I think anyway.
No,
right.
No. Unity is the key, Dave. I like unity. Charles Schwab Challenge.
Yes. We need to get back. I feel like we're losing momentum in this podcast. This week's show, we need to get back on track. So let's go to the Charles Schwab Challenge. And it was some finish from the winner here, Russell Henley, who I will mention was put up to me by my postman, Graham. He knocks on the door. We had a little chat and he said, I'm on Russell Henley. What do you think?
Great,
and I just said,
work.
Good luck. Big up the posties. They're all at his depot, HQ, where they go. They're all big Steve Palmer fans. So big up the posties once again. Top man, Graham. Always knock on my door for a chat or talk to anyone about golf, sport, punting, whatever. But he found Russell Henley, and this was some finish, Steve.
Well done, Graham. Yeah. We got the delivery drivers, the postman. Everyone's getting involved in this sweet spot.
For a community.
I've got a lot of respect for Graham there because, Russell Henley's the most accurate driver on the PGA Tour. The most accurate driver on the PGA Tour this season. So tidy from tee to green. So Colonial sets up beautifully for him. And then, Graham would have loved it over those closing few holes. Henley started holding clutch putts, finished with three consecutive birdies to get in the playoff, and then birdied the first playoff hole in splendid fashion. So, Henley, a six-time PGA Tour champion. It was a real feel-good story there. Always kids running on. He's got young kids too. So his half term was ended on a joyous moment. Russell Henley, brilliant on those sort of courses. He's another player that would have enjoyed the Austrian Open venue. Just so precise.
Where do you rank or rate Russell Henley? Steve Palmer's golf ratings. Where is he?
Well, he's world number five again now, and he's back in the top five. Yeah, he's been in the he's been in the top 10 for a long time. He's such a neat and tidy operator, but there's only on certain courses that you'll want to back him, Dave. He doesn't hit it very far. He'll outdrive Kaneko, but he won't hit it very far. But I rate Russell Henley. I was really impressed with the way he handled himself over those closing holes. Because he can lack a bit of courage under fire. But 6-time champion. Russell Henley is definitely in my plans for future battles.
Nice. Other mentions, honourable mentions. Ben Griffin, Alex Smalley, Mac Meisner, Gary Woodland. Beautiful to see him flying high up the leaderboard. Nico Echeverria, JJ Spawn. Who do you want to mention, Steve?
Well, I think Eric Cole definitely deserves a mention because he didn't do much wrong. Yeah, he's front running on Sunday. He's a PGA Tour maiden at the age of... he turns 38 next week, I noticed. And he didn't do anything. It was just the ninth hole. Did you see the ninth hole, Dave? He had a really...
I watched most of the final round. Yeah, I was actually death riding him because I weren't on and I'd back JJ Spawn him running.
But the wolves fell off
of that one. But yeah, I'll always try and oppose a maiden, what would be a maiden winner who's leading on the final round.
Yeah, well, you would have enjoyed that ninth hole then because that was the one mistake he made. He had a terrible lie in the rough and he tried to reach the green and it fell woefully short in the water and he made a double bogey at nine, but he was bogey free on the back nine. I still think he's good enough to win on the PGA Tour, but yeah, he's obviously knocking on in years now. Great iron player, great putter, certain courses you can back him.
Anyone else of notes?
Justin Thomas. You need to mention Justin Thomas because he was back putting poorly again last week. You know, his putting has been really encouraging lately. So disappointing last week. Tied 13th, but he's definitely back, Dave, Justin Thomas. We were worried about how he would come back from this surgery, but Justin Thomas looking really impressive again. I think he'll win fairly soon. You can consider him this week in the Memorial. And then finally, Dave, before we move on, Ludvig Aubert. Tied 17th, but did you know it's got progressively worse? 66, 68, 69, 71. His iron play has been amazing over the last few months, but it dipped sharply last week. His iron play was not great last week. And there's been some surprising early money, Dave, for the Memorial. He's been the most backed player of anyone. Over the last 48 hours or so. So that's surprising money. I think, obviously I've got huge amounts of respect for Ludvig Aubert, but I didn't think he would be the early mover.
No, yeah, we love him, but he weren't at his best last week, that's for sure. One thing that Graham did ask me is, who do I fancy or want to win? And I just said anyone but Michael Thorbjornsson, because he was up in the van, wasn't he, for quite a while. I was thinking, no, please, not this week. No.
No, he played well, but he faded over the last couple of holes. We'll put him in your bin for now.
He's already in there. It's not a problem. Right, let's move on then. Let's preview. Enough reviewing. A reminder that our friends at SBK are doing a 20% winnings boost. So if you're able to find the winner of the two tournaments on the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour this week, you'll get a nice, juicy 20% bonus on top with our friends at SBK. Jump onto the website, betsbk.com, for all the information there. And the man tasked with steering you onto those winners is now going to do exactly that. We're going to start with the KLM Open here, Steve. 104th edition, third year in a row at the same course. Where are we?
Yes, the International, Amsterdam, Netherlands. 6,914 yards, par 71, 4 par 5s, 5 par 3s. The International has hosted the KLM Open 3 times before. The 2019 edition was won by Sergio García. The 2024 edition was won by Guido Migliozzi. Then last year, Conor Syme made his DP World Tour breakthrough. Ian Woosnam designed the track, a links-like layout, undulating fairways, dunes, swales, some water hazards too, the greens full of humps and hollows, thundery showers and a fresh breeze are expected for round one, drizzle and a moderate breeze for round two, then it gets better over the weekend, brighter and calmer. So this is a test of accuracy and strategy, Dave, rather than power. Players need to safely plot their way along one of the most undulating courses on the circuit, I'd say. A field of 156 is going to post. Place your bets by 6 a.m. UK time on Thursday.
Okay, and we're needing to golf the golf ball this week, right? You can't just send it off the tee and hope for the best.
No, no, no. You've got to plot your way around, Dave. No good for you. I know you're a bit of a cavalier off the tee. So we got do you want to ask how many tips we got?
Yes, I do. Well, yeah. I'll give you the show first. It's about, this is a proper golf tournament, this one. It's 18-1 the field. Angel Ayora, Daniel Hillier, Jaden Shaper, Ewan Ferguson, Jacob Skovolason, Casey Jarvis, your mate, is up there as well, and Bernd Wiesberger as well, who's attracted a little bit of early money.
Yeah.
How many for the KLM Open?
It's four, Dave. I'm too wary to get too lusty on that in case another delivery comes. I mean, I was fortunate he came when we were in a relative flat spot. I don't want to be scaring anyone.
You do plenty of that, don't worry. Right, then, who is the main selection for the KLM Open?
Ewan Ferguson, who looks made for this assignment. An accurate Scotsman. He'll love this links-like layout. Turned up for his course debut in 2024 in a terrible state. He had withdrawn during round one of his previous event, the European Open, with severe vertigo and dizziness, you might remember. It was a horrible time for Ewan Ferguson fans. But then in his next tournament, he finished 27th in the KLM Open, which was a great effort, underlined his liking for this course. Then on his return to the international last year, closed with a 67 for fourth place. This is a three-time DP World Tour champion. He turns 30 next month. Beautiful golf swing, hardly misses a fairway, churns out greens in regulation. He was ninth in the South African Open in March, sixth in the Indian Open, fourth in Turkey a month ago. Rounds of 67, 68, 67, 67 in Austria last week, 17th place. His iron play over the weekend was sensational, so I see him as a surefire KLM Open contender.
Nice. Okay, right. He's big as 28 out there. So nice big price for the main selection. Who's the next best?
Jacob Skovolason, the 2024 amateur champion, loves linksy terrain, loves competing in the wind. He'll love this assignment. He finished 19th on his course debut last year. He was 367th in the world rankings at the time. He's up to 125th now because he's been relentlessly threatening a DP World Tour breakthrough. He's had seven top tens on the DP World Tour since last year's KLM. He's also finished fourth alongside Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen in the Zurich Classic PGA Tour pairs event in April. He was fourth in Turkey at the start of last month, second in the Sudal at the end of last month. Surely only a matter of time, Dave. He's going to become a DP World Tour champion. This is a golden opportunity.
That is only a matter of time. That is for sure as well. You put him up a few times at big prices, first round leader. So he's been on your radar for some time, Dave, this one.
I love him. And he's very, very good in the wind. I think they are the two most outstanding bets in this tournament. And the third tip, as you've already mentioned the third tip, actually. There has been some early money, but he's still worth backing.
We're going with the burger.
Yeah. Burnt cheeseburger. Three-shot winner of the China Open at the end of April. And he's been really good since. I almost certainly would have been on him last week for the Austrian Open in his homeland because he's been playing really well since he was the hero for us in China. I'm pleased he didn't win last week because that would have hurt me. But he did finish fourth. And over the weekend, he was fantastic. Rounds of 64, 66. Yeah, this 2026 version of Wiesberger is one of the best players on the DP World Tour, Dave. And I think the market has corrected itself because he's opened up 40-1. And, wise owls are looking at that saying, why? Because he's one of the best players on the DP World Tour, is Wiesberger. He's still got loads to offer at the age of 40. Nine-time DP World Tour champion. Finished seventh at this week's venue in 2024. He was runner-up in the KLM Open in 2016 at a different track. So, yeah, I think he's almost certain to be in the mix again this week, though. I don't understand those early shows.
There you go. Maybe it was the Palmer Millions moving the price. Right, who else then? Who's the fourth pick?
Dan Bradbury! Another rock-solid ball striker who has the tee-to-green solidity to handle this windswept international layout. Three-time DP World Tour champion. Won the Joburg Open in March, sixth in the Catalunya Championship at the start of last month, 11th in that US Open qualifier at Walton Heath last time out. So he's fresh for the KLM Open. He hasn't played much lately. He finished seventh in this last year, Dave. But there's more to it than that. He arrived at last year's KLM Open in terrible form. Form figures from his preceding seven tournaments of miscut, 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 56, miscut, miscut, miscut. Then he opened with a 72 and a 74 in the KLM, sneaked through to the weekend by a shot, played great over the weekend, outscored everybody. Nobody outscored him in the final round, Dave. So, yeah, Bradbury, enormous price this week. Yeah, great value. Another player often underrated, I think, Dan Bradbury. Was a Ashurst to be on him because he loves Yorkshireman.
He is a big price as well. So, yeah, we like that one. We like big prices, Steve. Right, was there anyone close to being on the list?
I think I mentioned him at the start, Dave. Yeah, it was a long list. But, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Davis Bryant, Gregorio De Leo, Martin Kuvra is, of course, debutant, but Kuvra's playing well. Grant Forrest likes Lynxy Terrain. So, yeah, those were the other ones. But, I'm happy with my four. We've got a 4-3-2 strategy this week.
Okay, right. Should we move on then to the livers?
I think we should, because Angel, you mentioned Angel Ayora. This is a fiddly assignment for him. There's loads of wind in the forecast. Course management, very important. Power doesn't count for much, so I don't think this is the moment. Yeah, famous last words, but I don't think this is the moment for Angel Ayora.
Okay, right. Liv Andalusia, then. We're off to John Rahm, Neiman, DeChambeau, Hatton, Puig, Dietrich, Burmester, Johnson, Garcia, all the big guns are in. That's your market. Tell us about the course.
Yes, the KLM Open will start at 6 a.m, but the Liv Andalusia is the second tournament to start on Thursday at 12:15 p.m. UK time, shotgun start. Real Club Valderrama, Sotogrande, Spain. 7,010 yards, par 71, three par fives. It's hosted numerous DP World Tour events. Most recently, the 2016 Spanish Open, the Andalusia Masters from 2017 to 2022, Live Golf Andalusia 2023, 2024, and last year. One of the tightest tracks in Europe, thin, tree-lined fairways, flanked by heavy rough. The greens are small, fast, and undulating. Sunny and warm weather coming our way for this. Light to moderate breezes. Accuracy from tee to green essential. A field of 57 going to post, no cut.
Iconic golf course, this one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Are you going to give us a story of you playing there once again?
Well, I mean, we've got a busy podcast. I could perhaps I'd do a separate podcast.
For those that have not heard it, just give it to us because you're itching, I know.
I'll do a separate podcast for that one. Yeah. I had a round of golf at Valderrama and it's one of my life's highlights that. It was really, really amazing to play there. I had a caddy. I didn't play particularly well, but the place is just absolute, mystical. It's a magical place. I don't think that'll ever happen again, but well, I don't play golf anywhere now because me injuries. But Valderrama's got a special place in my heart. There's a chopper going overhead now, Dave. There's a chopper. You got delivery drivers, choppers.
Yeah, they're on to you, mate. That's what that is. Right, you said you've got three selections here. Who's the main pick?
I've only got two for this one. Sorry, Dave. I've got the formation wrong. We've got three for Memorial, two for Liv Andalusia. And the number one pick is the defending champion, Taylor Gooch, who has become the modern king of Valderrama. Sergio García was the old king, but Gooch has won two of the three editions of Liv Andalusia. We were on him last year when he managed to fend off John Rahm, turned into a duel between those two. I think Gooch is going to complete the hat trick this week. He's having a solid 2026 campaign. Five of his eight Liv starts have yielded a top 20 finish. Found his A game in career last week. I don't know how much you watched of Liv career, but rounds of 69, 63, 69, 67 got Taylor Gooch in a playoff with Wacom Neiman. No disgrace in losing to Wacom Neiman in the playoff. Neiman made a brilliant birdie at the first extra hole. Gooch can leave career with his head held high, and now he comes to his favourite Liv venue. The foundation of Gooch's success as a professional has been driving accuracy, Dave. That is the key to surviving at Valderrama. I did not survive at Valderrama because I'm a grossly inaccurate driver. But Gooch loves it there. He's won four times on the Liv circuit. probably desperate for one last payday before Liv potentially disappears. I think he'll bank $4 million on Sunday.
Simple as that. Course form, big tick in the box there, that's for sure. Right, who is the other selection then?
Abraham Answer. It was between Abraham Answer and Sebastian Munoz for the other pick. I only wanted two in this one. Answer is the better player for me. A former WGC winner on the PGA Tour, a former President's Cup star, supremely accurate driver. You know, he looked like he had got a handle on Valderrama last year. Rounds of 73, 69, 66 for third place. Got stronger as the week wore on. Finished only three shots behind Gooch. And Answer has shown enough this season to suggest he'd be in the thick of things again. He's had four top 20s on the LIV circuit this year. Fourth in Riyadh, third in South Africa. He finished fifth in an Asian Tour event a couple of weeks ago, Dave. Went to Korea early and played well in an Asian Tour event, the Korean Open. Mid-division last week in LIV Korea. But, you know, nicely grooved in. You know, this is his third consecutive week of competition. Ideal layout. I think the Spanish-speaking Mexican will be a darling of the galleries this week.
Nice. Okay, what about the home team anyway? The likes of Rahman, Garcia. Was anyone sort of on your radar?
Yeah, Garcia has made me a lot of money at Valderrama through the years. I mean, he's the old king of Valderrama, but he's not quite on it at the moment and temperamental. Can't quite trust him this week. John Rahm. Very, very close to winning last year, but patchy Valderrama record. You know, miscut two, miscut 10-2. So two runner-up efforts at Valderrama, but also missed two cuts in what, it must be said, really low-grade DP World Tour events. You know, the Andalusia Masters did not get many good players. So, I think we can certainly live without Rahm at the short odds. He tied 16th in Korea last week. So, avoid the market leaders. And go with Gucci and Answer.
Was one of them John Rahm seconds when he was up against someone who was, I remember he was sort of, was more popular with the galleries than he was, and he was a bit miffed by that.
Oh, maybe, because, he's a Basque country boy, isn't he, Rahm? And, I mean.
I wouldn't say, there's going to be massive love for John Rahm this week, is there?
No. There certainly was last year when he was up against Gucci in the duel. But yeah, say it was Sergio García against Rahm. You're absolutely right. They'd all be cheering on Sergio García in that scenario. But we shall see, Dave.
Right, let's move on then to the Memorial. Tell us about the course first, Steve. Where are we off to on the PGA Tour?
Muirfield Village, Dublin, Ohio, 7,569 yards, par 72. Four par fives, designed by Jack Nicklaus, the tournament host. We've been coming here since 1976. The 2013 President's Cup was staged here too, as well as the 2020 Workday Charity Open. You might remember that one. That was a one-off PGA Tour event during COVID times. I remember it as if it was yesterday because I was on Justin Thomas and he got narrowly pipped by Colin Morikawa. During COVID times, we could have done with a lift. So I hated Colin Morikawa for that, and I still
do.
He
was the king of COVID, wasn't he, Morikawa?
he was the king of COVID. He was the king of COVID, but Justin Thomas looked the winner. Oh, it's a long story. We ain't got time.
We don't care.
We got pretty generous fairways at Muirfield Village, but they're lined by juicy rough. So there's a huge penalty for missing fairways. Approach shots, just really difficult. Well-guarded greens, surrounded by heavy rough. You know, Nicklaus loves testing these players on approach. I'd say this is an extreme tee to green test. The course has been toughened up over the last few years, and it's really difficult. Sunny, warm and calm for the most part. Accurate iron play, the key to success. Churning out greens in regulation. Five of the last 13 winners here have finished first for greens in regulation that week. We've got a field of 72 going to post, Dave. Signature event. It's one of the signature events that's got a cut. The top 50 in ties progressed to round three, and anyone within 10 shots of the lead. Place your bets by 12:45 p.m. UK time on Thursday.
Nice. Yes, 7th of 8 signature events on the tour.
Have you got signature event fatigue, Dave? Have you got signature event fatigue?
Yeah, I care anyway. Yeah, I've just given it lip service, but I don't really care. I'm glad you said that because I've written juicy rough, accuracy, And smaller than average greens. You've mentioned they're well guarded, but they're small as well, right?
Yeah, really difficult approach shots. You know, strokes gain on approach is the key stat this week.
Okay, right. Tiger Woods once won a three on the spin. And Scotty Scheffler is looking to do the same. He won it in 2025-24. Hovland, Horschel, West Ham's Billy Horschel, and Patrick Cantlay also on the winners list in recent years.
Yeah. Sorry, you got me. You mentioned Tiger Woods at Memorial. I've just gone off into a little daydream again about that because I remember he hit the most amazing flop shot from the rough once, and I was watching it on a device in a nightclub. You know, all the revelers were reveling, and I was watching Tiger Woods hit this amazing flop shot at Memorial. I was on him that week, and I was dancing more than the revelers. Never been a big dancer, but sorry, Dave, you're just getting me. You're just getting me there.
No, listen, it was like I was there. Yeah. Right, the market, Scotty Scheffler. There is 100-30 out there. He's the market leader. Rory McIlroy's in the field. 10-1 chance. Ludwig Ibert, Steve mentioned a little bit earlier on, very well backed, top price 14. We've got Cameron Young in there, Xander Schauffele, Russell Henley, Matt Fitzpatrick, Siwoo Kim, Tommy Fleetwood, Patrick Cantlay, Justin Thomas is a 33s chance as well. Right, I've had a decent bet on one of the players this week, Steve. You've got three in this.
Yeah,
I really hope that he's in the three. So give it to me. Who is the main selection?
The main selection, you may have heard of him. It's Scotty Scheffler, Dave, who I'm staggered to see has been drifting this week. If you've been following the betting, people are backing Ludwig Ibert as if defeat is out of the question. Scheffler is drifting. I thought he'd open up best at 9-4. I thought the best I was going to access this week was 9-4. I would have been happy with 9-4. There's only 71 players to beat this week. There's chinks in the armour of a lot of the market leaders for me. So 71 to beat. He's going for a third consecutive Memorial victory. But last night, loads of 3-1 about. As you say, some Burlington Bertie has emerged. I saw some 7-2 this morning. I mean, he's bigger on the exchanges. You know, this is one of those weeks, Dave, where you have to trust the world number one. You know, last time out, we had this discussion a couple of weeks ago for the Byron Nelson, didn't we? He was a best price 7-4 for the Byron Nelson. That's a full field event. The Byron Nelson venue, a great leveler, easy course. I think you said it was a glorified putting competition. I mean, you're absolutely right because, you know, Wyndham Clark won the tournament just through his putter. He putted amazingly well, which he can do, Wyndham Clark. You don't back Scotty Scheffler in a putting competition, Dave. You back him when the course is tough, when that unrivaled all-round quality of his will allow him to separate himself from the field. You know, Murfield Village does that, Dave. Sorts the men from the boys. Tests every department of your game. It's a long course, but it's not bombs away like we were discussing. The rough's so juicy that you need total driving. The penalty for missing fairways is severe. Total driving. Scotty Scheffler has total driving. He's long enough. He's straight enough. His iron play has been improving as the season has worn on. He gained almost 6 strokes on approach, Dave, in the Byron Nelson. Putted well too, you must have noticed. His only bad putting recently has been on unfamiliar greens. Doral, Aronimink. He doesn't know those greens. He didn't putt well. He's number one on the PGA Tour this season for strokes gained tee to green. Number one for greens in regulation. 6 of his 11 starts have yielded a top 3 finish. 1 win, 3 seconds, 2 thirds. It's an overdue second victory for Scheffler on Sunday. His course credentials, Dave, you're gonna struggle to contain me because his course credentials are obscene. He's got Memorial form figures of 22-3-3-1-1. So he could have won 4 in a row, potentially. I remember he putted really badly during one of those third place finishes. And I just think it's so fitting, Dave, that he has become the dominant force at Jack Nicklaus's tournament. You know, Nicklaus loves being the host of this tournament. He gets his milkshakes out. He gets he gets heavily involved in being the host. And Scheffler and Nicklaus are so similar. Like Nicklaus won by not making any mistakes. Scheffler wins by not making any mistakes. Yeah, relentless consistency with their ball striking, elite course management, Dave. You know, Nicklaus renowned for sensibly plotting his way along. You know, Scheffler is the modern Nicklaus, and they'll be shaking hands on Sunday and having some tremendous banter. To cut a long story short, Dave, I think this is the most suitable I think this is the most suitable course Scheffler has faced this year. He can really assert his superiority on this course. And probably because punters have been a bit frustrated by the near misses lately, he's not getting backed and he's drifting like a barge, and it's very, very exciting.
Could we go in again after the first round if he gets off to a slow start as well, which has been the path of the course?
Yeah, I'm still not convinced that's a thing. You know, I said it was a quirk. I'm still convinced it's a quirk. I don't think he's going to make a slow start. He can't afford a slow start here, Dave, because there's a cut in this one. That would be alarming if he made a slow start. But don't worry, Dave. I think we're getting a value price about Scottie Scheffler. As I say, I would have been happy with 9-4, and I can fill my boots with bigger prices.
Can I ask you, what price would he have been for you to have just gone, nah, not this week, he's too short?
Well, I mean, it was the Byron Nelson price was terrible. I mean, the best price is 7-4 in a full field event on a course where, yeah, it was a great leveler. I think, you know, we were turning our nose up at that one day, quite rightly so, but this one is it separates the good players from the bad players.
So if it was like 6-4, you'd be going, no, not for me.
6-4, not for me. No, I thought 9-4 because I don't like, you know, I hate it when I can't find anyone to beat the favourite. I dislike those weeks. But when a red carpet was laid out in front of me when he was drifting, I just thought, blimey, yeah, this has become a fantastic opportunity. I mean, I'll give you a Scheffler stat because the comparisons with Tiger Woods, yeah, it always make me feel a bit queasy. Yep. It's very, very difficult. But there's one stat I noticed the other day, which I think is quite interesting, which shows what you're dealing with. He's had 32 consecutive top 25 finishes. So 32 top 25s in a row. And that goes back to the 2024 Tour Championship. The record is 38. Tiger Woods has the record. 38 consecutive top 25s. Scheffler's six more to go to match that record. And you'd fancy him to match that record. I mean, the US Open's coming up, Dave. I know you're excited about him winning the US Open on his birthday to complete the career Grand Slam.
All day long.
Yeah, I think Scheffler is right on it now. He'd be frustrated that he hasn't won more than once this season, but this is the most important part of his season. I think he's had last week off. He's fresh as a daisy. I think he's a business-like Scheffler for the summer now. The iron play's come around. That's how he wins his golf tournaments. He's going to complete a hat-trick of Memorial titles this week.
Very confident then, Steve, with the chef, Scottie Scheffler, to cook it up at Memorial. Right, who else have you got for us?
Yeah, two big prices going for the places. Adam Scott is the next best, who I think ran out of steam in the USPGA Championship. We mentioned around that USPGA sweet spot how hectic the schedule had been coming into the second major of the year. You had back-to-back signature events. Do you remember we left Cameron Young out of our plans because he looked exhausted from those back-to-back siggies? There were lots of knackered golfers at the USPGA, Dave. And a 45-year-old Adam Scott, more entitled to be knackered than anyone else. He was playing superbly in the lead-up to the USPGA. He was fourth in the Cadillac Championship, 24th in the Truist Championship. Both of those finishes came despite terrible first rounds. You know, Scott produced some vintage golf over the final 54 holes of both of those events. He was fourth at Riviera in February, swinging as well as ever, Dave. I mean, this is a bold claim about a former world number one. I would say swinging as well as ever. I'm happy to forgive that miscut of the USPGA in return for a really juicy Memorial price. I mean, look at the prices. He's been ignored. They're both of my players this week. The punters are not interested in Scheffler at those odds. The punters are not interested in Adam Scott. They're both drifters. It's really exciting for me. Yeah, Adam Scott, second on the PGA Tour this season for strokes gained on approach. Second on the PGA Tour for strokes gained on approach. Who's number one in that statistic, Dave? Colin Morikawa, who is not playing this week. Colin Morikawa probably resting that troublesome back. So you got the best iron player gunning for you here at a juicy price. He made his Memorial debut in 2003. So loads of experience on this track. He was fourth in 2006, fifth in 2007, fourth in 2014, second in 2019. He won 2.5 points for the internationals in the 2013 President's Cup at Myrtle. So he knows this layout out of the back of his hand. His 2026 ball striking has been elite, truly elite. Great each way bet.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with that one. That's for sure. I might have to have a few quid on Adam Scott. How old is he again?
45. A couple of years younger than me.
Still swinging it nice. Right, who's the final pick?
Massive price, Taylor Pendrith. I think Scheffler's going to win. I think Adam Scott will finish in the top five. I think Taylor Pendrith will finish in the top 12. I'm targeting some place returns to bolster the Scheffler winnings. I think Pendrith is a really worthwhile each-way investment. Likes this part of the world, Dave. He went to Kent State University. Kent State University in Ohio. He won the Mid-American Conference Championship in Ohio in 2013. He won twice on the Canadian Tour in 2013. He won twice on the Canadian Tour in 2019. PGA Tour breakthrough in the 2024 Byron Nelson. Yeah, Pendrith is a proper player, Dave. Poor putting has been holding him back this season, but driving really well. He finally holds some putts in the USPGA. His approach play was solid in the Byron Nelson last time out. So I think he's threatening to become a contender again. If you look at his bare form, it's not that impressive, but he's been playing in the elite events. He's been playing in the signature events. Muirfield Village, you know, big ballpark, big boys track. This is the perfect place for him to continue that revival. And if you look at his Memorial form figures, Dave, he played there three times. Progressive, 60, 33, 12. Love that progression. If it continues this week, I'll make each way money from him. I think he's been dismissed too easily. I mean, this is a man who finished fifth in last year's USPGA, you might remember, Dave. Two-time President's Cup player. Certainly no mug, Dave.
Trending in the right direction, we'll say, here at the Memorial. Right, so let's talk the big boys at the top of the market. Rory's back. What of Rory?
Not got a great Memorial record, Dave. When has been driving so poorly. I mean, he hasn't been finding any fairways, has he? He doesn't seem to care. Just bombs away. We mentioned at the USPGA that tactic didn't work. The bomb and gouge didn't work. He has to find more fairways, Dave, to be competitive. I mean, the rough is extremely penal at Muirfield Village. I don't think he can win unless his driving form dramatically improves.
Okay, we touched on Ludvig Åberg already. What of Cameron Young and Xander Schauffele?
Yeah, Ludvig Åberg got progressively worse last week. Cameron Young, abysmal Memorial record for a player of his ability. 60, miscut, 50, 25. So Cameron Young's been in the form of his life lately, but I just can't ignore that ugly Memorial CV.
And what of Sam Burns, who I've backed?
Oh, Sam Burns. Was that the one, was it? Yeah, I was on him the other day, wasn't I? Yeah. Just too inconsistent ball striker for me. Obviously a fantastic putter, but I just wouldn't trust him to stay out of trouble at Muirfield Village. So I would put you off Sam Burns, I'm afraid to say.
That's all right. It's all good. Tell me that this is a madness approach, but I think he shot 76 in the first round last year, and then he went all right. So yeah. If you can sort of forgive one poor round.
Yeah,
there we go. But no one cares.
I mean, I love Sam Burns. I think he's a great golfer. And you can throw some egg on my face next week, Dave.
Well, he's a 50s chance, right? He doesn't have to have a lot on at 50.
Exactly. Now we'll meet up.
I will
next...
remind. Sorry, listen, I want to remind everyone. You're putting up Scottie Scheffler, Burlington Bertie, 3-1. That kind of price is out there. Do remember that SBK are doing a 20% winnings boost as well.
Yes.
Steve is keen on the price of Scottie Scheffler. It'll be even bigger if you're back in with SBK because you get 20% boost on top.
Good point, well made there. Good point, well made.
Thank you.
And, hunt down enhanced win only. We're backing in win only and hunt down enhanced win only. SBK might have an enhanced win only. Hunt it down, Dave. Great betting advice.
Marvellous. Do we have anything to add on that golf tournament, Steve?
No, sir. We got 9 tips across 3 tournaments. So, good opportunities for treble fans.
4, a 2 and a 3, right? So what is that?
Yeah.
4, 2, 8, 24 each way trebles if you want to play. If my maths is correct, which I
like
hope it is.
There we go. I've had a treble on the top 3 selections there. You know, I like to do the number ones. So Ewan Ferguson, Taylor Gooch and Scottie Scheffler. That's a lovely each-way treble for me. And then maybe we can put a greyhound in to win the Derby to make it a quadruple day.
We can. Right, listen, you will be able to watch the Greyhound Derby final and the supporting races right here live on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We are covering the Greyhound Derby. It'll be on the Racing Post YouTube channel, Racing Post X account and the Racing Post Facebook page. listen, Saturday night, there's not too much going on. The very best in the UK and more importantly, Ireland, because all six Greyhound Derby finalists are from Ireland. The Ballymac man, Liam Dowling, I'm sure you've heard of the Ballymac, Steve. He's got three through to the final, which is some effort. And I do fancy one of his. I put up track one, Ballymac Duffel at 50s, price-wise in the Racing Post. He's well drawn in track one. But the dog in trap two might lead the inside, Ballymac Ralph. You can get 5-1 if you hunt around.
Yeah.
I think that you'll get a run for your money, Ballymac Ralph in trap two.
You've whetted my appetite there, Dave, because that's fascinating that you've got three from the same stable. So those dogs might have to have a little chat to each other. You know, have a little chat. Team tactics. You go there, I'll go there. We'll see how that works.
I'm not against the full cost 2/1 as well. So it could be a Ballymac 1/2, and he's got Ballymac De Niro as well as a class act. So it could be a 1/2/3. Brilliant. But it's a good final, and we are bringing it to you right here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. So
I'll be tuning in, Dave. I'm still absolutely fuming that my closest dog track is Swindon. I mean, I was
not anymore, isn't it? Because it's shut.
Has Swindon gone as well now, has it? I mean, where's my closest dog track now, Dave? I mean, it used to be Poole. I used to go to
not
Poole.
Not Oxford, because Oxford is shut as well.
Oh, I mean, this is making me physically sick.
Hove.
I was ranting at someone the other day. I can't remember who it was. I don't know how the subject of dogs came up. I was ranting about this. And I said to this fella, I think Swindon's my closest one. That's gone now. It's Hove, is it? Oh yeah, Hove. Okay. No, I'll have to get to Hove because I want to introduce my children to it. But it's a long way to go. But yeah, we will all tune in, Dave. Looking forward to the Greyhound Derby. Looking forward to the cricket. I'm going to the cricket on Friday. England against New Zealand, day two.
Is there a bet there? Is there sort of any cricket bet for us?
I don't know yet. I'll have to speak to James Milton, who's very good on his cricket. Find out what's going to happen there. But I mean, if it rains all day, Dave, they're going to have to put the covers in the stands as well, because I will be crying so much that I will waterlog the stands, because I'm so looking forward to going to the cricket on Friday to get a bit of me time. the weather forecast is a bit dodgy. I've got an astonishing record, Dave, of such a bad record of going to the cricket and not watching any cricket. You know what I mean? Yeah, you need
more time spent in the bar, I fancy, than watching the cricket. Right, let's have a roundup then of the selections this week. We'll start with the KLM Open, and remind us, when's a bet by?
Ewan Ferguson, Jacob Skov-Olesen, Bernd Wiesberger, and Dan Bradbury. 6 a.m. UK time.
Okay.
Terms and conditions apply. Taylor Gooch, Abraham Answer. 12:15 p.m. UK time. Terms and conditions apply.
And the Memorial Tournament.
Scotty Scheffler, Adam Scott, Taylor Pendrith. 12:45 p.m. UK time. Terms and conditions apply.
Right, it's all happening on Thursday then. It's all kicking off. Right, Steve, it's been an absolute pleasure as ever. Enjoy the cricket. I hope it's not a washout for you. And you can report back. Well, you're going to have to text me what sort of bet, and everyone else can just read James Milton's views in the Racing Post. So we're all good. We've got that covered.
Now, I look forward to it. Have a good game of golf, Dave, wherever you go today. And good luck on the Greyhound Derby. I'll be tuning in. I'll be following your tips. Up the Greyhound racing, up the cricket, up the sweet spot.
Indeed. Right, we will see you next week. Do remember to gamble responsibly. Enjoy the golf. We'll see you next time.